Ramsey TV.
Shining light into the darkness of a wicked eon. This is Martin Zender, and you are at MZ TV. Welcome to the show. I'm going to talk today about a freelance walk in Christ, what it looks like and what it doesn't look like. Always got to contrast the true with the false. Before I get started there, I want to commend Liam McAllister of Scotland, who has made a great video about the two Gospels. My son Gabe made me aware of this video. Very straightforward, very scholarly, lots of verses, just a really fine video. Something really good, I think, to send to people who have never heard of the two Gospels before. Liam McAllister, I'm going to link you to that video below here. He, along with Catherine Holmes, interviewed me a couple weeks ago. I will go ahead and link again to that video. I think it's got over 700 views, so I appreciate people looking in. And I want you to subscribe to Liam McAllister's channel, also to Catherine Holmes' channel. She is passionate about talking to other members of the body of Christ. And if she's making a video in front of the camera, in her home or in her car, she is passionate. And Liam is the same. So I commend these two saints to you. They're doing great work. So one of the main problems we have in this society today is overprotection. Everybody wants to be overprotected. And other people want to extend overprotection to us. Religion overprotects you. Church overprotects you. The law overprotects. Going to talk about every one of these points. Going to just bring them out, bullet points, right? Boom, 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 boom. Government overprotects. Nike, the Nike company, overprotects. Yeah, I got an actual visual demonstration of that here. Some of you have seen it before. I have to give this overprotection video at least once a year. There's always something new added to it. Jealous girlfriends overprotect. Oh, yeah, they do. Overprotective mothers, they definitely overprotect. All this is done in the name of trying to preserve you, trying to help you, trying to make your life better. But we're going to find in every one of these cases that, no, thank you, leave us alone. We are much better off with Christ. We are much better off with Christ as our head. We don't need any institution in between Christ and us. And we don't need a lot of padding between our feet and the road. And we don't need the government to come in and tell us that we just can't live properly or rightly or sufficiently without them. Religion. If religion would ever teach the truth of justification, then that sin can no longer stand in the way of a person's relationship with God. They would be out of business because they thrive in needing you to need them. I mean, the Catholic Church is the perfect example, one of the worst branches of Christianity. You can't get rid of your sins without the priest, without the mediation of this priest. My God, there's nothing more obviously interfering between you and God than that. But the Christian religion, which, as I explained last week, likes to throw stones at the Catholic Church, they do the same thing. They have accountability partners. You certainly have to be in church every Sunday, or you're breaking the fourth commandment, not to keep the Sabbath day holy. You're not keeping the Sabbath day holy. Well, the Sabbath is on Saturday, but anyway, that's the law. It didn't come to us anyway. So church puts itself between you and God. This is why I wrote my first book. I tried to think of the most pressing need of people. And my first book, of course, was titled How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, because people assume that God is in church, and if you quit church, you lose that protection. You lose the accountability. God can no longer be in your life without the mediation of pastors and Sunday school teachers or worship leaders, whatever they call worship, singing repetitive songs. That's what they call worship. having a pretty cool rock band on the stage. Oh, wait, it's an altar? Oh, I thought it was a stage. Hard to tell the difference. You can't have Christ without us. That's what they say. But the irony in all these overprotective issues is that you're actually worse off. Oh, the medical world. Forgot to put that down here. The doctors, medicine. Oh, my God. They really try to overprotect you. Medical world. Yeah, I forgot to put that one down here. You are better off without the mediation of any of these operations. Even the law, if you can believe this. The law, which purported to bring a person to God via self-effort, failed by design. Because actually, you are better off without law. That sounds bad because I just said outlaw, without law. There's another word in there, namely outlaw. And people think that if you don't have rules and regulations, then you are an outlaw. Because, see, they don't trust things that they can't see. The religious world doesn't trust anything it can't see. It doesn't trust faith. It doesn't trust an invisible Christ. And yet the invisible Christ is our head. And he is the head of the body. And he unites us and assimilates us. And we see this every time a conference is held. We have a common head, and this is so evidenced by people getting together and suddenly knowing each other, people who have never met, people from different continents, just start in talking and fellowshipping because we have a common head. And we all hear from our common head. We don't need the mediation of religion. We don't need the mediation of church. It just stands in the way. It makes things worse. The law certainly made things worse. Romans 7, Paul said, I didn't even think of coveting until the law said, thou shalt not covet. Then sin, getting an incentive through the precept, produced in me all manner of coveting. How's that for an irony? The very law that purported to prevent coveting actually caused coveting because it's an issue of overprotection. Overprotection of not trusting God, not trusting grace. And all these institutions that want to protect you, it all has to do with visible things, with you doing something, with you showing up somewhere in the medical world, with you having a test, with you submitting yourself to their protocols. Once you do that, you become a slave to them. Let's just go ahead with the medical world. It's like McDonald's. You just go in, you want to get established with a doctor. In my case, you know, I have these pills that I take, but I can't get my prescription renewed unless I have a doctor's appointment. It's $125, you see. It's all to make money. And they just ask you a few simple questions. But what they also try to upsell you always, always. Well, you need your blood checked. You need a cholesterol test. You need to have a tube shoved up to certain areas in your body. Actually, every place you have an orifice, you need a tube. And we need it to test. Make sure you don't have cancer. Make sure you don't have diabetes. Make sure you don't have high cholesterol. How about this? How about you leave me alone? How about I'll eat right most of the time and I'll exercise? How about that? I'll get outside and I'll try to have a happy-go-lucky life. As soon as I put myself into your care, your protective care, that's the beginning of the end. The worry starts. The really errant diagnoses. How many times have doctors misdiagnosed people? How many senseless, unnecessary operations have been conducted that have made things worse? The woman in the scriptures with the hemorrhage, it said she had visited doctors constantly, spent all her livelihood on doctors over the years, and she was the worse for it. She came to be the worse for it. That is what all these overprotective services will do. And if you submit yourself to their, quote, care, unquote, then you've traded an invisible freelance walk for a visible walk that is tied. You tie yourself. You become tied with these strictures, with these rules, with these tests, with these regulations, whether it's the medical world, the religious world, government. Well, let's talk about government. Government wants you to think that you need them to take care of you from womb to tomb. And some people are tricked into thinking that the government actually cares about you. No, the government doesn't care about you. The government wants dependents. The government wants and needs people to need them just like the church so that they can feel important, so that they can have a power in your life. You don't need them. It's a trick to believe that you need all the various services that the government provides. What it does, when you get free anything, when the government says, we're going to help you by giving you free money, it kills the human spirit. It kills a person's need and desire to make something of themselves in the world. People need to be able to fail to pick themselves up again. Government prevents that. We're going to protect you from what? We're going to protect you from failing. But wait a minute, failing is good for me because I find out what doesn't work. I learn lessons and I find out the resolve and the reserves I have within me to pick myself back up from the failure. And that is all very important in human development. The government will take that away from you. And I know my friend Drew Costin, who is watching this, he'll disagree with me. Drew lives in Canada, in Toronto, and I love this guy. We're good friends. He has done some proofreading work for me. Great guy, but he thinks that the government is the answer. Government needs to decide how much money you should make. Government needs to decide how much money they will take from you. What do? They take from people who are producing, and they give it to people who are not producing as a means of protecting. We need to protect society, but this ruins people on both ends. It ruins the people who are producing because they're punished for success, and it ruins the people who are getting something for nothing because it takes away their incentive to live, their incentive to feel good about themselves, to get a job. Jobs are good for people. It's good to get up in the morning, have meaningful work to do. The government takes that away. And there's a name for taking money from people involuntarily and giving it to other people. Well, it's called redistribution of wealth, but it's also called stealing. It's stealing. Well, let the government pay for it. Where does the government get money? I don't know. Well, the government doesn't produce any goods or services. The government gets money from its subjects. And if the subjects don't agree to give the money, which of course they won't, the government takes the money. The government punishes people for making money. This is a very bad thing. Oh, yes. It drives successful companies out of the country. It destroys the middle class because most people in the world just want to be left alone. Leave us alone to live our lives the way we want. We'll pay our fair share of taxes, but leave us alone. Let us decide if we want to be generous. The ironic thing is, I'm going to get off government very soon here. The strange thing is that the people who think government is the answer, government needs to take money from people who make too much, shame on them for making too much money. We need to punish them with punitive taxes and give it to people, other people who aren't so hot at producing things. The weird thing is that those people who are for the government, you don't find them really giving to other people. Because when someone forces you to give to other people, it becomes a law, it becomes a compulsion, and then you resent it. But if people are left alone, they are much more apt to be generous with their money. Let people decide. Let the individual decide to help the poor, to give to causes that they believe in, to give money to people to help them on an individual basis. Let it be from the heart, not from compulsion. That's the way this whole freelance operation that I'm doing here works. Anyone who gives to support my work to help me keep going, they do it out of their heart, out of God moving their heart, never out of compulsion. I'm not going to tell people, hey, really, you really haven't given me anything to help me do this work. No, it's all free. It's all free to anyone who wants it. And I trust God to move the hearts of people. You see, there's part of a freelance walk. That's a freelance walk. It's scary. Oh, yeah, freelance walk is scary. Sometimes it's scary to not get a government handout and to have to make it on your own. It's a scary proposition. Many people can't do it because they need the comfort of the institution. Many people need the comfort of the government, of the church, of religion, of the doctor's office. Oh, whenever they get a sniffle, whenever they get a headache, they go to the doctor. Headache might be a brain tumor. Sniffle might be the dreaded something or other. So they go to the doctor, and the doctor wants to open you up. The doctor wants to submit you to a bevy of examinations. As soon as you enter that portal, boy, I tell you what, you're going to have more worry than you ever had before. Worry kills more people than war. Stay out of the doctor's office and don't worry. I know we have to submit ourselves to government, but the government that is laissez-faire, the government that is hands-off, is always the better government. We don't want authoritative governments. We don't want top-heavy governments. We don't want a top-heavy medical world that takes on political power and exercises it over the people, because this power corrupts. And as we know, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. People like to tell other people what to do. Ooh, that is another common theme here. People like to tell other people what to do. Your pastor likes to tell you what to do. The Pope likes to tell the Catholics what to do. The priest tells the Catholics what to do. Your representatives in Congress, your representatives in the Senate, the president, they like to tell people what to do. But if they were true to their calling, they would realize that they are servants. You're the boss. Boy, what happened to that theory? Oh, Jesus, it's not supposed to be a theory. It's supposed to be a fact. In a representative government, you are the boss. They serve you. You don't serve them. That doesn't happen very often. Nike overprotects. I love to talk about this. As you know, I wear minimalist shoes. For those of you who don't know, welcome to my world. The reason people say, oh, running is terrible for you. You're going to injure yourself. You're going to get shin splints. You're going to get water on the knee. You're going to get broken ankles. You're going to get spleen ruptures. You're going to have brain aneurysms. Running is very terrible. Only because of Nike shoes. Only because of the overprotection of foam, of rubber, of insoles, of inserts, springs. I saw some girl the other day in Fort Lauderdale, down by the beach, running on springs, bam, bam, like Tigger. The wonderful thing about Tigger, the Tigger's a wonderful thing. The tops are made out of rubber. The bottoms are made out of springs. They're bouncy, trouncy, clouncy, pouncy, fun, 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 fun. But the most wonderful thing about Tigger is I'm the only one. Oh, I'm the only one. That's Tigger. This chick looked like Tigger, except for the striped outfit. What's the matter with you? Overprotection. Because the foot is such a beautiful thing. It's made by God. See, you're made by God. Your foot is made by God. And the foot knows how to run. All those beautiful tendons and muscles and bones in the foot. And when the foot is so intelligent, but it needs to feel the ground, needs to be in contact with the ground. If you've ever seen kids running, they have perfect form. Children running barefoot through the grass in the summer have perfect form. Because the foot knows exactly how to strike the ground to protect itself. But when you cover the foot in padding, and this is the thing, and they charge you tons of money for this padding. So does church, so does medicine, so does the government. They actually charge you to screw you. You have to pay a lot of money for the privilege of them overprotecting you and ruining your life, making you a dependent, injuring you, opening you, destroying your legs and your back and your neck because your feet don't know what the hell they're doing. You put your feet in this $150 pair of shoes with all this padding and foam and marshmallows and springs, and your foot just goes, well, he doesn't need me anymore. Screw it, I'm going to sleep. You put the foot to sleep. You put it in a tomb, and the foot doesn't know how to contact the ground anymore. That's why when you watch people run, and I do, I always watch people's form, it's awful. 99% of people have no idea. They're putting their legs way out in front of them. They're just doing these crazy things. They're running on their toes or they're running on their heels. They're not running from their core. It's an awful thing to see. It's terrible. The solution? Minimalist footwear. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a pair of my shoes here. Merrell Vapor Glove 5.
There it is.
There it is, the Merrell. I just retired these. You'll see why in a second. These are my running shoes. They get really good when they get holes in them. See, these have holes in them. You can do this. If you can't do this with your running shoe, what I'm about to demonstrate here, if you can't twist your running shoe into like a piece of dental floss, then you're overprotected. 2 years ago, I ran 43 miles on concrete. Yeah. Ran from Fort Lauderdale to Lake Worth, Florida, with absolutely no cushioning, no protection, no insoles, no nothing. And I felt great. No knee problems, no shin splints, no ankle problems, no leg muscle problems, no ass problems, no neck problems, nothing. Because I let my feet inform my form. It's a beautiful thing. But the Nike company will charge you an arm and a leg to screw you. Jealous girlfriends. Hoo-hoo, forget about it. I've been the victim of this. Why are you doing this? Why are you checking my phone all the time? Why are you breaking into my computer? Why are you analyzing all my friends? Why do you accept friends named Bill and Bob and John and Joe? But if I have friends named Nancy or Emily or Jill or Mary, then you're angry. Why is that? I'm trying to protect us. You're trying to protect us? You're ruining us. Because this is a complete lack of trust. By overprotect any jealous person out there, if you're trying to, quote, protect your relationship by not trusting your partner, by second-guessing them all the time, following them around, wondering what they're doing, you will drive your partner away. If there's any jealous women out there, you don't need to worry about the female friends that your husband has. So you're worrying about the wrong women because your husband forsook all those women to be with you. The women you need to worry about are the women in his future after you completely ruin your relationship. Relationship has to be based on trust and sanity. But you're scared. Yeah, you're all scared. You're scared that your husband or your wife is going to cheat on you. They took a vow not to. If they're a halfway decent person, they're not going to do it. And they tell you that you're the only one. They forsook all others to be with you. But you don't trust them. Ooh, that's deadly. That's deadly. Overprotective partners, whether you're a man or a woman, either one can be overprotective. Another way to put it is micromanagement. We can get into bosses too. Micromanaging bosses. The postmaster at the post office where I used to work in Willard, Ohio. 8 o'clock, he came out and said, "Time to put the flag up, Zender. Time to put the flag up." Really? It's time to put the flag up? 8 o'clock? I didn't know that. We've only been putting the flag up over this post office at 8 o'clock since 1933. But this guy could not stay in his office and let us work. No, he had to hover over people. We had a supervisor named Mark Crumrine. We used to call him Crummy. He was also called Crumb Nuts. He was also called The Crumb. And he would literally sit behind the mail carriers as they're casing their mail, getting ready to take their mail out. He would literally sit behind them and watch them case. You know what they did? They found out the minimum number of letters they had to sort in a minute. And they would just do the minimum. And it was so slow. The minimum was so slow. If you leave those guys alone, treat them like professionals, they're going to get their job done. They want to get the hell out of there. They want to go home. They're going to do their job. It's just like the law. The law. Thou shalt not go get coffee. You should be sorting mail. Thou shalt not stand under a tree for 10 seconds to get some blessed shade on a 100 degree day. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt deliver the mail and not take any break whatsoever. You see, and it just screws you over. It just makes you want to rebel. Just like the law. What do you know? Just like the law. The law does that too. Overprotective mothers. Yeah, moms, let your kids have fun. Let the kids play. Back in the 60s when I was growing up, man, we didn't have seatbelts. We didn't have car seats. We were rough and tumble. We played tackle football, my friends and me, on the blacktop playground. We played tackle football. It was glorious, and it toughens you up. It makes you strong. But nowadays, Jimmy, stay away from the sliding board. Stay away from the slide. Why? Because you might go down the wrong way. You might land the wrong way. We need to put a pad at the end of the slide. Let's put a pile of Nike shoes at the bottom of the slide so everybody can land on some cushy insoles. Oh, don't do it. Yes, your kids need parameters. They need rules. because they're not smart enough not to eat sweet tarts for breakfast or pop tarts for dinner. So yeah, you have to do that. But when it's playtime, let them go, let them rough, let them tumble. This in the, I got to be careful here. Watch me be careful. In the medical world, same thing. You expose yourself to the world and you develop immunity to things because your body builds, it naturally builds, am I allowed to say antibodies? Naturally, by exposing yourself, by playing in the dirt, by swimming in the rivers, it protects you. But when you attempt to overprotect yourself, to never get touched by anything, if you wear gloves and a face diaper and you try to stay 25 feet away from everybody, then when something does come up, your body's not going to be ready for it because you've overprotected it. You haven't steeled it. You haven't let it steel itself. The body is intelligent. The foot is intelligent. I'd be running barefoot. When I lived in Sao Paulo, Brazil, I would run 6 miles barefoot through the city. Yes, through the city. What about the glass, Martin? Weren't you afraid of stepping on glass? I had two very high-tech tools that I use to avoid stepping on glass. The highest tech tools you can imagine is my left eye and my right eye. And by the means of these amazing organs, I avoided stepping on most glass. Oh, but that means you did step on some glass. Yes, I did. What did you do? I stopped and picked it out. I stopped and picked the glass out of my foot. Isn't that what most people would do? I mean, it's simple. It's simple. A freelance walk with Christ, of course, is the same thing. We don't need intermediaries. We do need each other. What we need is our head. And we trust our head, Jesus Christ. And we trust grace. Grace has power to keep us. Grace has more power than law. Law incites the flesh to sin. Grace says, and Christ says, that no matter what you do, I'm here for you. I love you. You mean you're not going to check my phone or my email? No, I'm not even going to check your phone or your email. You're a good person. Oh, wow. I don't know how to react to that. Well, just say thank you. Just say thank you. And be glad that Christ is real and he's our head. Grace has power. It's real. It's a force. It's called being free. It is called being free. Ladies and gentlemen of my audience, the smartest audience on YouTube. Be free. For freedom, Christ freed you. And do not submit yourselves to any form of human bondage.